Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, QT and Sun Guy here with you on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes if you're looking for some wrestling. Tonight, up in our neck of the woods, 3-2-1 battle in Seattle. You also have CCW in Spokane, Washington. Tomorrow night, Woo America happening in Bremerton, Washington. So make sure to find yourself a local independent. Go support what they do. And our guest should be joining us soon. But QT, where are this week's rankings? People all over the world looking for this week's top 9 7/8.
You know, based on our interview today with Sean Angel, the way he responded to some video that I have seen of him may indeed get him ranked. This interview today will be pivotal in our rankings and may see the debut of Sean Angel. That's why the rankings haven't come out.
I see.
Yep.
Now, when they do come out, will they be on the Facebook page of Coach Mike Jones?
I'm accepting applications as we speak, yes. And in fact, Coach Mike Jones, I have urged him to submit his application.
I see.
Yes. This is a groundbreaking moment for our Northwest rankings. Having a wrestler being ranked based on the interview they give on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. It's never happened before. I'm very excited.
You're sure it's never happened before? I feel like it's happened multiple times.
I don't think so. Who could I have ranked based on their interview? Could it have been Randy Zellers or maybe a Matt Liske?
Yes.
Oh, I can't recall anyone being ranked based on probably their quick response to what sometimes can be thrown at them as, say, philosophical questions. Yes.
I see.
I mean, has the Tally Babe ever been ranked based on an interview that she has given with Turnbuckle Turmoil? The Tally Babe.
Not to my knowledge. But I believe Paul Preston has.
Oh, Mr. Sixty Pants.
Yes.
Now, why that reminds me, Sun Guy. Should I contact Mr. Sexy Pants and ask him if the rankings should be posted this week on his Facebook page?
I don't see why not.
Well, okay. Now, who just? In your preference, if it came down to Coach Mike Jones and Mr. Sexy Pants, Paul Preston, and their applications, which one would you rather see the rankings posted on?
Maybe Mr. Sexy Pants.
Well, how about the Phoenix Kid? He's never had the rankings posted on his Facebook page.
Well, I think that's a big oversight.
Oh, okay. Well, I will have to keep you abreast of how these applications are coming. In fact, I might send them a reminder right now. Yes, just a reminder. As you know, Sun Guy, Mr. Sexy Pen and Phoenix Kid and Coach Mike Jones, very busy these days. Sometimes they need a reminder that their applications should be submitted. Yes.
Well, that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Now, Sun Guy, you yourself tomorrow might not see any wrestling action, but are going to an event that some may say is the polar opposite of wrestling. Can you fill our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans on what this event is? Yes, please.
I'll be attending the Northwest Tea Festival at the Seattle Exhibition Hall.
Can you tell our fans where the Exhibition Hall is?
It's in Seattle.
Oh, okay. Well, that narrows that down. Yes. How close to the Space Needle will this be?
It'll be fairly close. It's down at the City Center.
I see. The City Center, yes. Any other plans besides the Tea Festival, or will you be focusing 100% of your focus, mental focus, on this Tea Festival?
I'll be focused a lot on tea for sure.
Will any of your tea purchases make their way to Northwest Wrestlers in the coming weeks? Any of your tea purchases?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a... Will any of this tea make it to Dave the Beast Barnett or the Razor Ramones?
Also possible.
I see. Is Rex Razor Sharp a big fan of Lemon Zinger?
I believe that he is. I presume so.
Oh, okay. Well, did you ever drink tea while on the set of Total Dudes with Sign Guy and Rex?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, are there any chances that there will be a comeback with Total Dudes and Sign Guy and Rex and maybe Paw Moonshine in the coming year?
Not to my knowledge, but you never know.
That was a groundbreaking interview with Paw Moonshine. I think it blew, although I put my heart and soul into this show, it automatically blew 50% away of our broadcast, which I'm eloquent to say. Yes, you did outstanding work with Paul Moonshine.
He was very adamant about he and Miss Piggy.
Yes, that was a seminal moment in podcast history. Yes.
Now, QT, did you ever ask Paul if he would set you up with Miss Piggy?
Oh, I don't think I could. I don't think there's enough beer in the world to ask that question. Yes.
Oh, come on.
All right.
Now, what if he had a 5-gallon bucket he would put the beer into for you?
Well, then I might be kind of interested. Yes. You know, Paul Moonshine, he's slightly careful with his money coming from the hills of Appalachia. Slightly careful.
Now, what type of beer do you imagine Paul Moonshine would put into that bucket?
Well, let me see. Have you ever heard of a beer called Buckhorn Beer?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that on the shelf in a long time. Buckhorn, haven't seen it. It's pretty elusive, if you ask
anymore.
I don't know if they do. I'm gonna have to go on YouTube and plug it. I will go on here right now. This is a first here, and just YouTube. Sometimes they have fancy commercials for beer. What comes to mind is a Rainier beer commercials of the 1970s, where you had of course you've seen this, the motorcycle going down to the road, and you hear a Rainier beer. Yes, that. But I'm that was an iconic beer commercial of the 70s. Well, I'm going to plug in Buckhorn Beer, see what I get. This is very exciting. I'm doing this right now live. Buckhorn Beer. Here we go. Oh, you got a Buckhorn Beer? Okay, let me see here. Buckhorn Beer guy. Oh, my gosh, there it is. Now, who is this Luke Combs? Is he a wrestler? I don't know about that. He looks like a wrestler. Oh, boy. Okay. All right, 1968, vintage beer can. Museum of cans. I guess they have a museum of beer cans. This is very exciting. Well, there's a deer with the antler, that's for sure. All right, should I Should I now send this video right here, YouTube video, to Tyson Tank?
I think so. I think you would enjoy it.
Let me see here, Facebook.
Well, now wait a second here. Okay, Facebook. Buckhorn Beer. Facebook. It's not. Oh, well, okay, here comes the screen. Okay, let me see. Let me see if I can actually, let me see. Well, I'll forward it to my page. Just a sec, I've got to type something. This is very huge. Okay. As per our conversation today at, I'm going to say 4:08 to the 4, it is now, I'm going to say 12 mark of the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show. I bring you Buckhorn Beer. Okay. And then I'll say Attention Paw Moonshine.
Oh, okay.
All right. It has been posted. It has been posted to my Facebook page, the one without the picture. Speaking of which, Sign Guy, I'm going to need help in posting a picture to my Facebook page icon. My icon, yes.
Would it be a picture of Paul Moonshine with Miss Piggy?
Well, if I can fit this in with my new photograph, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Now, Sign Guy, when will you be at Wrestle Club next? Can you fill us in on that?
No confirmed date yet, but hopefully in the next couple of months.
I heard that they may have a card near Halloween.
I believe they do.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's a... And also, Blue Collar Wrestling is famous for their near Halloween cards also. Yes.
Is that a reference to the Gimmick Infringement Battle Royal?
That would be huge. Isn't Blue Collar Wrestling known for the Gimmick Infringement matches?
The Gimmick Infringement Battle Royal is a staple, yes.
Oh, okay. I should, here, let me see now. Attention.
Oh, this is groundbreaking.
Oh, okay. Here, Matt Liske. Your comments on past consumption of the above beverage and Northwest Wrestling in particular. This is groundbreaking, Sign Guy. You would never see this in the 80s and 90s.
That's probably, yes. Probably very true.
Oh, okay. In your conversations with our guest today, and I hope he shows up soon because I have taken copious notes, John Engel, do you know what job he has in the Navy? I wasn't able to ascertain that.
I do not know. I'm going to guess. I guess he's a medic.
Oh, a medic. Medic, okay. Huh. Well, do you think he's a medic land-based or on a ship? That's a question.
I'm going to say a ship.
I see. Would you say, let me see, a hospital ship, a destroyer, or a cruiser?
Cruiser.
I see, a cruiser. Guided missile cruiser or regular cruiser?
Regular cruiser.
Because I had a friend on the USS
California, which is the cruiser, but that would got decommissioned, like in 96, I think, the USS California.
Was it a medic?
He was not a medic.
He was like, I believe, a sonar man, I believe. And ironically enough, he served on the ship as the same time as a reserve player in the NFL, Napoleon Kaufman.
Was he related to Napoleon Bonaparte?
No, but he may have been related to
Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh.
No, but you remember who Napoleon Kaufman was, don't you? He played for the Raiders.
No.
Okay, well, it was a long
time ago, back in the 80s. I think mid-80s, yes, Napoleon Kaufman. In fact, I think he may have even broken in with the Raiders in 83. Boy, let me say 93, 03, 13. That's 30, 13 and 8, 35 years ago. Let me double check on this very quick. This is very historic, may I point out. I hope the Tally David's listening. Napoleon Kaufman. Huh. I can always ask Google, I guess. Google search, yes. Okay, let me see. When did Napoleon Kaufman? Because he did, there was a picture of him going through a celebration called King Neptune. That's where you cross the 50th parallel, something like that, 50th, the equator. I think it's crossing the equator, the celebration of King Rex. It's very degrading. They had to really tone it down. Okay, here I go, just a second. When did Napoleon Kaufman serve in the Navy? I'm plugging this in. Here we go. When did Napoleon Kaufman, K-A-U-F Kaufman, serve in the Navy? I wonder if I should put aboard the USS just a second. Okay, here we go. Napoleon Kaufman. All right, let's see. Did you mean when did Napoleon Kaufman? Oh, okay, I guess I spelled Kaufman wrong. Okay, here we go. Wikipedia. Wow. They actually, okay. Let me see. He was born in Kansas City, Missouri. He grew up in Lompoc, California, which is located 50 miles west-northwest of Santa. Well, let me bring up the whole thing here. Ooh, let me see here. All right. Boy, I'm glad. I'm surprised we got a Wikipedia here. Let me see here. He was one of the greatest high school running backs in California prep history at Lompoc High School. As a 135-pound sophomore in 1988, he rushed for 1,008 yards. That may be, and that was under 140 pounds. Holy smokes, that's okay. As a senior, he was 5'9 and 170. So he bulked up from 135 to 170, which is the weight, I believe, Sean Angel was in his match with Tyson Tank, 170.
That's not bad.
Let me see here.
Kaufman was also an exceptional track athlete. As a junior, Kaufman's personal best in the 100 meters was 10.39. Wow. Okay, and he ran the 200 meters in 21.15 seconds. That's half a track in under 22 seconds. And he was a good long jumper with a personal best over 24 feet. Wow. All right, let me see now. He led the NFL in yards per rushing attempt in 1996 with 5.8 rushing. Oh, he played way later than I thought. Holy smoke. Okay, Sign, here's one. What do you believe his total rushing yards in the NFL was? Total yards.
13,050.
Oh, no, way lower than that.
8,011.
Well,
his career spanned from 1995 to 2000. So he had a five-year career. That's it. So now guess.
98.
4,792 for an average rush of 4.9, which is very good. 4.9 yards a carry. All right. Let me see if it has anything to do with, if it says anything with the Navy. Let me see. NFL statistics. Oh, okay. 1995 Oakland, 16 games, 108 carries. Holy smokes. Okay. 1996. 16 games, 150 carries. Man, that's 5.8 yards a carry in 1996. Okay. 16 games in 97, 13 in 98, 16 in 99, and 14 in 2000. So he was very consistent. Very consistent. Okay. Well, let me see. It doesn't have anything... let me see. It doesn't say anything about his naval career. Huh. Okay. Well, it's a boy. Very interesting. Okay. Running back. He was born in Kansas City, Missouri.
Well, I believe Kansas City, also the home of Harley Race.
Well, okay, Harley Race, yeah.
Although Harley Race never would I don't think have gotten 5 yards a carry in his NFL career. I mean 4.9 a carry. Might have done very well though. I wonder if Harley Race ever played football.
Not to my knowledge. He started pro wrestling right around the age of 15.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I wonder how Buddy Highway is doing in his semi pro league. That's a good question.
I don't know.
No, okay.
Well, now, sign guy, I got sidetracked by Napoleon Kaufman. I was going to ask Coach Mike Jones if I could post the Northwest rankings this month, I mean week, on his Facebook page. I got sidetracked. Let me go back to this. I have a bad feeling that Sean may have been called to extra duty today. This is terrible.
Or maybe the CEO took away his telephone.
Yeah, maybe he was going down the
gangplank if he is indeed on a ship and they said Liberty has been canceled. Okay. Let me go ahead and contact Coach Mike Jones here. This is groundbreaking. Coach Mike Jones, okay. Oh, it's not bringing his site up.
This is horrible.
Okay, here we go. Coach with the most.
Well, fine. While I'm doing this, who do we got coming up Monday on our show?
Well, Sunday we have Rock Parsons. He's a wrestler from many years ago out of the Tennessee area, and he will be with us Sunday.
Rob Parsons?
Rock Parsons.
Oh, okay. Rock Parsons. Okay. All right, I am now officially going to ask Coach Mike Jones right now. Here we go. Coach, we are live on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Show. This is a first in podcast history. May we publish this week's Northwest Wrestler Rankings on your Facebook page. Okay, here we go. That sounds very good. Here we go. It has been posted. Yes.
Oh, good.
Okay, wait a second. View post. I'm very nervous about this. Okay, let me see. I just don't see it. Where is that? Maybe I'll just hit the arrow and refresh a page here. Oh boy, I don't know. Does he have two pages?
Same well, message. Might. He's got two hands, right?
Yes.
Okay, let me see now. The coach with the muscle height. Well, there is Real School Army. Why didn't this post anyway? Oh, okay, here we go. It looks like it went through. Should I concentrate my efforts on Matt Liske?
Yes.
Yeah, here's another one on
June 8th. IQT folks would like to say that the coach was mentioned quite a bit today in our Turnbuckle interview with Sin Bodie. Oh, do you remember that?
Yes.
Right.
And I'd like to take this opportunity to invite coach to enter our, what was this? Enter our what? Enter our, oh yeah, name the future Kentucky Derby racehorse of Sin Bodie. What is your nomination, coach? What was the name? What did we finally decide the Kentucky Derby racehorse of Sin Bodie? Do you remember?
I don't think it ever came to fruition, but I believe our guest has joined us, QT. Do we have Sean Angel with us?
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Well, Sean Angel, thank you very much for being with us today. And since it is your first time with us, you get the first-timer's question. What led you to get into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, man, I used to watch it as a kid. First thing I ever picked up was WCW Monday Night Nitro, and I got to see the man called Sting in action. Ever since then, it really took a toll. My brother introduced me to the WWF at the time. And then I started getting attached to guys like Shawn Michaels, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, and the entertainment aspect of it. And I was fond of it as a kid. And I was deep down inside, my mom saw me like, she's like, you can do that. And I always like backed her off. And nah, it's not me. It's not something I want to do. I'm a basketball player. And later on down the line in high school, I got into amateur wrestling. Then after amateur wrestling, I got into freestyle. And later on down the road, I joined the military. And another wrestler, you know, in the business I work in goes by the name of Play. He kind of introduced me to the guys in the back at the venue he was working at, and I got to meet guys like Adam X. I got to meet guys like Ian Bear, Randy Taylor, I think I met Cahagas and Hot Hands Mendoza at the same time, and man, it just caught me by storm. Next thing you know, I was doing my best to get inside of the ring. After my first bump, it was magic.
Now, you are up here in Washington, and Washington has been working for the last couple of years to get its commission revised so that it's easier for promoters to run licensed shows and to be able to charge admission fees instead of doing donations. What do you think of the current state of the Athletic Commission here in the state of Washington?
Uh, more than likely, I want to say that everywhere is going to be different, but you really do have to work with what you have. You're not going to be blessed with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of fans every show. There's going to be some shows you may get 100, and maybe some shows you get like 10. You know, you got to work with what you have. You know, I feel like that they do the best that they can possibly do, especially by us. And I'm actually humbled to see, you know, guys that actually care about the business and care about their performers. And even if they can't get an admission fee going, you know, donations, it helps out in any shape they possibly can. You know, the fact that they're even, you know, still going and still going strong, with no matter what they get, again, from either 100 fans to 10 fans, or hell, even no fans. And, you know, to still give it their all, that's more to me than, you know, any kind of money could even say.
Well, hopefully we will not see the day where there's zero fans that turn out to a show.
Oh, yeah. That'll be weird. I don't know, man. I think I could still wrestle a zero place show and then like go after a broomstick or something. That'd be good. Good training.
Now, you've only been wrestling for a couple of years now, but cardio is something very, very important for wrestlers because that enables them to last longer during the course of a match. What would you say has been the longest match that you have had so far?
I think the longest match I've had so far was I had to go against, I want to say it was Goblin and another guy I really can't think of versus me and Brian. And no, Buddy Highway, there we go. It was Buddy Highway and Goblin versus me and Brian. And in that match, I was sweating bullets because it was a good 15 minutes. That's been the longest match I've been able to wrestle so far. And the cardio aspect of pro wrestling is way different than the actual, you know, mat wrestling, amateur wrestling. Mat wrestling, you were built to go, you know, 9 minutes strong. And even in that aspect, you were going to get tired, you were going to get winded, you were going to get gassed. And there was, you know, you have to mentally be prepared for it. In pro wrestling, it's kind of the same aspect, but instead of, you know, 9 minutes, you can go 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, up to an hour, and you're expected to perform the whole time, you know, whether it's mentally or physically. And I feel like that the training resume that you have to put on just to be able to go out there for 15 minutes is completely different than anything I've ever experienced being an athlete my entire life.
You mentioned the tag team match there in Oregon. Tag team wrestling is different in a lot of ways from singles wrestling. Do you have a preference at this point between singles and tag wrestling?
I grew up a fan of tag wrestling. I thought tag wrestling was like the most intense and it was the most entertaining because you got four guys. That's technically five guys in there that are, you know, all doing their best to entertain the crowd, whereas the singles competition was, you know, just, you know, three guys. However, I feel like I get more aspects out of singles wrestling because I'm able to explore more than I feel like I'm capable of in a tag match as of right now. That's honestly a tough question. I love both, but I love the singles aspect just a little bit more.
Now, like you mentioned, you have gone down to Oregon recently. You're new to the blue-collar wrestling roster. Fans can be different from promotion to promotion, region to region, as far as what they like, what they don't like, that type of thing.
Have you noticed much difference between the fans in Oregon as opposed to the fans that you're accustomed to in Washington?
That's actually kind of easy. The Washington fans are more brutal. You know, sometimes they ask for a lot more. They're more interactive in a way when it comes to the wrestlers. But at the same time, I've experienced less Washington fans than I have Oregon fans. Oregon fans I've experienced every show at least 50 or more. I haven't really experienced over maybe 50 fans in Washington since I actually started wrestling there, which is not a bad thing. It's just with those 50 fans, it actually makes it – it's more challenging to, you know, the in-ring performers, because if you can entertain 50 fans, you can definitely easily entertain, you know, 100 to 200 fans or, you know, 2,000 to 16,000 fans. It's way easier. Whereas, you know, 50 fans, they're keen to see mistakes happen or, you know, they're more in tune. If they can get lost easily, you got to do everything in your power to make sure they remain entertained, whereas, you know, 16,000, they're strong. You just go out there and perform. The Washington fans have been a bit more interactive and are a little more intense than the Oregon fans, but at the same time, the Oregon fans are a lot more into the show. They're more focused on the show itself than as of, you know, who's in the ring, and for whatever reason, oh, they see a drop kick and it's just a basic drop kick. The Oregon fans have actually been probably my favorite so far. And I don't know. Thinking about it right now, I want to say the Oregon fans, the reason why they're my favorite is because no matter what, every single show, they're going to let you hear it. They're going to be very vocal about it. And if you messed up, they're going to tell you you messed up. Whereas the Washington fans, they kind of are just more, well, not as intense. But in the same way, they're not more into the show as the Oregon fans are.
Well, at this point, QT Vokes is with us. He has questions for you as well, so I'll give you over to QT Vokes for a while.
All righty.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Sean.
How's it going, man?
It's going pretty good, not bad. Sean, I'd like to first thank you for your service in the Navy. Can we ask, we were discussing this before the show, and Sign Guy made a prediction that you were a corpsman, and I asked Sign if you were a corpsman on land or sea, and if so, were you on a hospital ship, a destroyer, or a cruiser?
Okay, so this is going to hurt. Sorry, Sign Guy. I'm not a corpsman. My actual job is aviation ordnance man. I'm a bomb builder. I'm a missile loader, missile tester, whatever you want to call it, mag rad. You know, my job is to pretty much build, you know, explosives and handle explosives on a daily basis. I did release a message to my promotion that I was doing medical training tomorrow. That is because before I joined the military, I was actually in the medical field. And at the same time, I carried it on within the Navy, and I was a stretcher bearer within the ship. I was the command stretcher bearer within the ship, and now I'm trying to pursue even higher steps and become a part of the medical training team. And then eventually I'm trying to get into a program that will eventually turn me into an officer within the United States Navy for the medical field, for the corpsman. So as of right now, no, not a corpsman, but I do have the love for the medical field, and I do have my hands inside the medical field right now. As of the ship, I am on an aircraft carrier on the CVN-68 USS Nimitz. And everybody talks about it and asks me questions. Yes, it is a floating fortress. It's a big city, carry up to 5,000 people. One of those places you got to wait 2.5 hours just to eat in line, or, you know, 20 to 30 minutes to take a shower. 15 if you want to pee. Sleep is like you get it when you can get it. It's not guaranteed. It's long days. Long days, not enough days off.
Wow. Didn't you just get back from a deployment?
Actually, yeah. Last year we were on deployment on the Westpac. That was my very first deployment. For anybody that's interested in wanting to know how it is out there, it's hot. Very hot. Go ahead and take into consideration that people think, 80, 90 degrees is hot when I was in conditions that were, on a regular day, 130 plus. Because it's when you're out in the middle of an open ocean on a steel fortress, it's it condenses the heat. There is 100% humidity, no sort of shade, air conditioning, good luck. If you find it, you're like the luckiest man on the ship. If you don't have it, well, join the rest of us. It sucked.
Yep.
Hydration is key out there.
Wow, no wonder why you would like, I could see where you'd like to get in the Corman field and maybe get a nice air-conditioned hospital in Norfolk.
Oh, God, no. Okay, anywhere but Norfolk.
Oh.
When people do think of the military, they think of a couple places. Great Lakes is one of them, which is where I actually hail from. That's where I am from. And then there's Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk, Virginia is where we have the quote-unquote big heads of the Navy. That's just a ton of note because you can only imagine, being on end every single day you go to work. I've heard that the living is great over there. Real estate is cheap over there. Everything is kind of cheap over there. That's just a place I don't want to go because I've seen Norfolk. The traffic is very horrible because it's just not one base. It's like 9 different bases all like clumped in one spot. Traffic is pretty bad, the cost of living may be good, but at the same time, it's very plentiful. It's not plentiful, limited. And it's a really big deal to be able to go to Virginia, because sometimes once you get in Virginia, you can't get out. And I may say, hey, I want to go to Japan after that contract, but I can't because one day I might have a wife, I might have kids, and they just say, no, we kind of need you here. And just how it works.
Well, I will pull some strings and try to get you stationed in Alameda.
Oh, okay. I think I'll take Norfolk after that one.
Oh, okay.
All
right. I myself served in the Coast Guard.
All right. Hey, thank you for your service, man. You paved the way for us.
Oh, no problem. No problem. Okay. Well, Sean, I saw your YouTube promo called NGW Green Room with Sean Angel, 8/18/18, WUW. My question is, how do you rate the quality of this video, which was produced by the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones? And is it possible he would be a future tag team partner consideration based on the quality of this video?
Well, with the quality of the video, I was definitely happy with it. I was definitely pumped up to be a part of the green room. Tag team partner. You know what? The coach wants the most wants to, tag with Sean Angel. I'm all for it, man. I actually, if anybody hasn't paid attention or paid notice, I'm actually a quote-unquote recruitee of the Real School Army. And, just to have the man that runs the whole plan right beside me, I'm all for it.
Wow, I think your military bearing and quickness would complement the coach with the most quite highly. Yes, military bearing.
Military bearing. Sometimes it goes out the window. It depends on the situation. Most of the time, it's because of plague.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Sean, Sign Guy is close to 700 Twitter followers, but like the 700 home run plateau of Major League Baseball, it is taking forever to get over that 700 mark. Will you be one of the wrestlers to follow Sign Guy in early September, or maybe even by Sunday, and put him over the 700 mark?
I would definitely be one of the followers for Sign Guy. You know, Sign Guy's, when I first got my teeth into the business, Sign Guy taught me a lot, just being a referee, being aware in the ring, and teaching me some of the psychology in the ring. So, you know, just if it being a follower is not even a question. Yes, that's fine.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Sean, on November 18th, 2017, you warned MRT that a storm was coming. Have you seen a tropical wave or a tropical storm while you were on the aircraft carrier?
I never got to see a tropical wave or tropical storm. We almost got put into a monsoon, but avoided it. Thankfully, I didn't get to be a part of any of those. But we've had minor storms out of the seas, and, like, what's minor? You know, to me, out at sea, it could be like an actual severe thunderstorm here on the land side. Let's just say you actually wanted the storm, especially if you worked the day shift. If you worked the day shift and later on that night and it was nice and raining, the wind is blowing, the ship's rocking, you're going to sleep. You're going to sleep through the storm. It's going to be the best sleep you ever had. Put this in your thought. You ever put a baby in a rocking cradle and watch it drift off to sleep? That is exactly what happens. But you're a grown man on a big aircraft carrier. You're going to go lights out, and it's going to be the greatest sleep you've ever had. So when storms did happen, I actually enjoyed them. But no, I did not get to see a tropical storm or a hurricane or a monsoon or anything like that. Thank God.
That doesn't happen on a destroyer, though.
Destroyers get brick rock. Destroyers get ripped rock because they're a bit smaller. Same with the amphib, small boys of any sort. You know, they're not as big as an aircraft carrier, but hey, each his own.
Yes. Well, Sean, I saw your YouTube video entitled Tyson Tank versus Sean Angel, Cinco de Mayhem. Do you remember when this match took place?
I tried not to remember.
Oh
man. The match took place, and I'm sorry for, you know, probably going off the radar here on this one. I was, before I became Sean Angel, I was known as Kid Cougar. A lot of people know that. I got demasked by Phantasma. And then later that day, I made my debut as Sean Angel against Paul Cerberus. Well, as much love as I was getting from the fans, I didn't want love and adoration. I wanted titles. I wanted wins. I wanted success. And I was rich, so I felt like if I really wanted it, I was just going to take it. And what ended up happening was, I decided to turn the cheek and just said, screw the fans. And decided to have a bone to pick with everybody. And I did what I wanted to do. I ended up buying a whole row of handicapped seats and decided to take the whole row to myself because I could. MRT didn't like it. Jackson got in my face. So did Tyson. And then I had to go one-on-one against Jackson later the following week. After me and him faced off, I beat Jackson. Tyson goes in and he smushes me 4 different times. Because fans were paying him to do so. So for me to get a little vendetta, I decided that I wanted one-on-one with Tyson. And I think I bit off more than I could chew because I took 3 of the most painful chops that I've ever taken in this business, ever, so far. I take that back. Pimp has number one. The rest of the other chops belonging to Tyson. From that point on, I got powerbombed. That knocked the wind out of me. Then I took a Vader bomb And then after that, he smushed me. Shortly then after that, Jackson comes out. He hits me with his DDT, and I got carried out on the stretcher. But instead of going out like a wimp, I went out with my bird held high. The truth of that matter, the truth of that matter was I had gotten beat so bad it actually hurt me in some ways. But at the same time, it was around the perfect time because I was getting ready to go on deployment. So either way it goes, I'd have to stop wrestling. I just want to leave on my own high note, and that didn't happen.
Wow. Well, after that match, did you indeed show up at the court foreman office?
Well, yeah, luckily they didn't know about it. I kind of tough through that one, so everybody thinking Shawn Angel's a wimp. They got another thing coming. I can hold my own against, you know, some of the heavy-handers. Me considering everybody knows I have a mat wrestling background. I also have an MMA background. I can go with you, but I can also take it as well. And luckily, none of the medical personnel knew about it, and I hope they never will know about it.
Oh.
I'm healed up now, but I don't want them to know, just in case other matters come up.
Well, Sean, you mentioned at the 55-second mark in this video how it was unfair that you had to wrestle Tank and that you were rich and you had more money than the whole crowd. My question is, would you say you have as much money as Northwest rap pioneer Sir Mix-a-Lot?
Sir Mix-a-Lot. Oh, no.
Yes.
I don't know. Sir Mix-a-Lot has a long longevity career. But he's made a ton of money, and he's even now making money without having to do a single thing. I'm getting there.
Are there any truths to rumors that you indeed have invited Sir Mix-a-Lot to La Problemita's tomorrow, where you will sing with him at intermission, My Posse on Broadway?
I don't know where that one came from, but if that is actually a possible thing, I'm down for it 100%. I don't even need to get paid for that one. I would like to. I don't need to. That would be something I would do for free. That would be fun.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, Sean, when you addressed the crowds at La Problemita's, you said you would get your legal team. Are they known as the legal team of Hagen and Dawes?
No. Legal team was actually a lot of higher-up officials that I had on the suing that I was in a match that was not scheduled. The match was completely unfair. I was, you know, not prepared at whatsoever, and I received a broken rib. It was completely off the record. However, because I wasn't within the vicinity to press charges, I was only limited to things that I could do, which means I just banned Tyson Smush. And that was some sense of justice for me. I also was guaranteed a title shot on my return, which I had gotten, and eventually Paul Serber stuck his nose in my business and costed me my match. Otherwise, you guys would have been speaking to the newly crowned, you know, inner city champion.
Wow.
I think the fans had known it, and at the same time, when I made my return, I was expecting returnings to boos and hate and hisses. However, I returned to cheers, and guys and the fans just ready for Jackson to lose his belt. They knew I had it. I knew I had it, and all of a sudden, you know, Paul Severus just took it away from me. Eventually, I just got tired of getting ganged up on, and I just turned a new leaf. I saw the company for what it was. Like, at the time, I was a quote-unquote villain. I was a bad person, but I was not that bad. I only did the things I did because I was rich. I didn't do the things I wanted to do to try to destroy a company or to maim or hurt others. I just wanted success. And I hated to see a company that I actually started to fall for just fall, and I wanted to do something about it. So that's what, you know, changed my ways. And now here I am fighting a good fight, you know, on and off, in and out of the ring. But, you know, just doing everything I can to make sure the fans continue to have hope within WUW. And I can't thank them more and for supporting me throughout the years. And it's going to be sad for, you know, when I eventually do have to go.
Wow, that's okay. That's what the words. All right. Okay. Well, Sean, Tyson Tank's weight has been reported to be around 365 pounds or 1 pound for each day of the year, while you are reportedly at a trim 170 pounds, or if you were a 1 pound a day calendar, you would be close to the last day of the spring. Would you say your match with Tyson Tank had the physical characteristics of, say, a Shawn Michaels versus Big Van Vader matchup?
Oh, my God. I think it was more like Rey Mysterio versus Big Van Vader. That I got thrown around like a rag doll. Yeah, back then I was 170 pounds. Now I'm a nice, you know, 207. You know, but that still doesn't outclass 365, and Tyson is a lot of man to take. Like, I don't know if anybody's been, you know, dropped by a guy that's nearly, you know, twice to three times your size. It's not a good, pleasant feeling. And honestly, it's not a feeling I want to ever feel again. Do I know it's going to happen eventually? Yeah. But this time, next time, I'm more prepared for it. I'm not going to try to out-wrestle a big man. I'm just going to have to use my brain on that one.
Oh, all right. Well, Sean, we're getting near the end of our interview time, so I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. But fair winds and following speed until I see you again. Yes.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you, QT. Well, Sean, we got just a few moments left, so I want to give you plenty of time. If there's anything you'd like to say to the people listening, plug and promote whatever you like, social media, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite ice cream shop, floor is all yours.
So, you know, first off, you know, to all the fans, thank you for your support. You know, I know we're not the WWE, we're not, you know, TNA, we're not Ring of Honor, we're not any of that, but at the same time, we do this for you guys. And for those that tune in and support us, we thank you with everything we got. You know, that means more to us than anything else. Without you guys, there wouldn't be us, and that's the truth. Second off, I want everybody to go ahead and get ready to tune in at La Plovenita tomorrow at 0600. You know, we're going to have the biggest show that we guys can give you. I'm going to go one-on-one with Sexy Pants himself. We're going to get to see a heavyweight title match between Richard Sincere and Phoenix Kid. We're going to see Big Steve versus Goblin. We're going to see the Squad versus Leatherface and Von Hess. You know, that's the show I don't want guys to miss. And then if you can, tune in to Fight TV September 30th. We're going to have the show of shows pretty much. Something I don't want anybody to miss. I'm not going to go ahead and ruin spoilers on that. That's just something I want you to see yourself. Shout out to all the brothers and sisters that do support the military and are in the military or have been in the military. I can personally say that it's a tough life, and to try and adapt pro wrestling into that lifestyle is very complicated. But, you know, to those that can do it, you know, right on, brothers. Sign Guy, you're the best. You know, thank you for having me on my podcast. And now I'm about to go ahead and enjoy the rest of my Friday night. You know, get my mind ready for tomorrow.
All right, you be safe out there tomorrow. And fans, if you get to see Sean Angel at a show near you, go out, support what he's doing. Great young talent, lots of upside to him, so get out there, support what he and the rest of Woo America do tomorrow. Also, Blue Collar the next day in Oregon. And we will be back with you Sunday after noon, we have the aforementioned Rock Parsons as part of the show tomorrow, on Sunday, rather. So definitely tune in Sunday, and we'll be back with you then.